Chapter 38. The last words having been spoken in Malay, he explained courteously that he had given directions for the transport of the luggage. Wang had melted into the night in his soundless manner. My word! Rails laid down and all, exclaimed Ricardo softly, in a tone of admiration. I never! We were working a coal mine here, said the late manager of the Tropical Belt Coal Company. He's are only the ghosts of things that have been. Mr. Jones' teeth were suddenly started chattering by another faint puff of wind, a mere sigh from the west, where Venus cast her rays on the dark edge of the horizon, like a bright lamp hung above the grave of the sun. We might be moving on, proposed Hest. Why, Chinaman and that ungrateful servant of yours, with a broken head, can load the things, and come along after us. The suggestion was accepted without words. Moving towards the shore, the three men met the trolley, a mere metallic rustle which whisked past them, the shadowy Wang running noiselessly behind. Only the sound of their footsteps accompanied them. It was a long time since so many footsteps had rung together on that jetty. Before they stepped onto the path trodden through the grass, Hest said, I am prevented from offering you a share of my own quarters. The distant courtliness of this beginning arrested the other two suddenly, as if amazed by some manifest incongruity. Should regret it more, he went on, if I were not in a position to give you the choice of those empty bungalows for a temporary home. He turned round and plunged into the narrow track, the two others following in single file. Queer start. Ricardo took the opportunity for whispering, as he fell behind Mr. Jones, who swayed in the gloom, enclosed by the stalks of tropical grass, almost as slender as a stalk of grass himself. In this order they emerged into the open space kept clear of vegetation by Wang's judicious system of periodic firing. The shapes of buildings, unlighted, high-roofed, looked mysteriously extensive and featureless against the increasing glitter of the stars. Hest was pleased at the absence of light in his bungalow. It looked as uninhabited as the others. He continued to lead the way, inclining to the right. His equable voice was heard. This one would be the best. It was our counting house. There is some furniture in it yet. I am pretty certain that you'll find a couple of camp bedsteads in one of the rooms. The high-pitched roof of the bungalow towered up very close, eclipsing the sky. Here we are. Three steps. As you see, there's a wide veranda. Sorry to keep you waiting for a moment. The door is locked, I think. He was heard trying it. Then he leaned against the rail, saying, Wang will get the keys. The others waited. Two vague shapes nearly mingled together in the darkness of the veranda, from which issued a sudden chattering of Mr. Jones' teeth, directly suppressed, and a slight shuffle of Ricardo's feet. Their guide and host, his back against the rail, seemed to have forgotten their existence. Suddenly he moved, and murmured, Ah, here's the trolley. Then he raised his voice in Malay, and was answered, Yatuan, from an indistinct group that could be made out in the direction of the track. I have sent Wang for the key and a light, he said, in a voice that came out without any particular direction, a peculiarity which disconcerted Ricardo. Wang did not tarry long on his mission. Very soon from the distant recesses of obscurity appeared the swinging lantern he carried. It cast a fugitive ray on the arrested trolley with the uncouth figure of the wild Pedro drooping over the load. Then it moved towards the bungalow and ascended the stairs. After working at the stiff lock, Wang applied his shoulder to the door. It came open with explosive suddenness, as if in a passion at being thus disturbed after 2 years' repose. From the dark slope of a tall stand-up writing desk a forgotten solitary sheet of paper flew up, and settled gracefully on the floor. Wang and Pedro came and went through the offended door, bringing the things off the trolley, one flitting swiftly in and out, the other staggering heavily. Later, directed by a few quiet words from Number One, Wang made several journeys with the lantern to the storerooms, bringing in blankets, provisions in tins, coffee, sugar, and a packet of candles. He lighted one and stuck it on the ledge of the stand-up desk. Meantime, Pedro, being introduced to some kindling wood and a bundle of dry sticks, had busied himself outside in lighting a fire, on which he placed a ready-filled kettle handed to him by Wang impassively, at arm's length, as if across a chasm. Having received the thanks of his guests, Heist wished them good night and withdrew, leaving them to their repose. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.